talking about Hilchot Zaka. Zaka.
Shabbat.
Shabbat. Zaka. הצדקה בכלל הנדרים ואינו יכול לחזור והנדר אינו יכול לחזור צדקה, if someone says I'm going to give such amount of money a certain amount of money for צדקה it's like a vow, it's a vow he has to give it, there's no way to go back so once I asked the Rav that I was nodir something for צדקה and then my situation became a little bit tight could I do a thousand days? He said no, wait till your situation gets wide again I said okay so על כן טוב אינדו רק כשהכסף מזומן נתינה או משוספים בנדר. Therefore it's good when someone says I'm going to give a certain amount of tzedakah only if he has a cash around or say בנדר. בנדר is no vow so then you're supposed to give but if you don't have you're not over on a nedar. Okay. When there's a trouble then you give a tzedakah also when someone has a certain trouble gives tzedakah and you say Elaka de Meir Aneini, like the Gemara says. Elaka, Eloka, the God of, de Meir Aneini, referring to Rab Meir Balanes.
What you're saying, you just say with the hey, the cool.
You say that when you lose stuff, no? If you can't find something, you say that.
Huh?
If you can't find something, you say that.
It's another thing. Yeah? I thought you said Amar
Binyamin. No, that's not.
There's several methods. There's that, Rabbi Binyamin. There's the Louis Neshmat of Dov Bermi Amsterdam.
Can you explain, Rabbi Meir Balanes? Can you explain this, why it's so, why the story?
There's a whole long story in the Gemara.
Yeah.
And it comes out from the story that when you mention Rabbi Meir Balanes, you can have Yeshua.
Which Gemara? So I don't know the story.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe Michael knows.
You know the story, Michael?
Didn't get up to it? Yeah.
Huh?
Didn't get up to it?
Michael, what's the story about?
It's a very long story. It's something about his niece being kidnapped by the guy. You know, long story.
It's either Hagiga or a Tanis.
I don't think it is. I just learned it. I don't think it is.
It does work.
Works.
Works all the time.
Also, yeah.
It's kind of scary.
מותר לך תחילה לנדוד לצדקה כדי שגם אחרי ייתנו אכן ואיזה דבר אין לומר סכום גדול לפי דעתו כדי שחברו ייתן יותר מה זה אומר? כן טוב You can't when there's a bet in shul over a certain mitzvah, and you know some one person really wants it. You're not allowed to make it higher and higher just so he gets
it
higher.
You're auctioning it off, like Elias.
Yeah, you can't make it higher and higher just so your friend makes it even higher.
What does that mean?
I mean, you know this guy has the yard side. He's going to pay anything to get this aliyah now.
You can't.
So you can say, I'm going to say 1,000. He'll say, I know what he's going to do. I'll say 3,000. He'll say 4,000. I'm not planning on paying.
When I had my son, that somebody did that to me. Like I was bidding, you could see the bracelet, you know, like on my arm, and I just had a baby, and like I'm bidding, and the guy's like, "No, this shit, I'm like," so I'm just like, "All right, 200," you know, like I just like get, because I don't want to go in a bidding war with this guy. Like, you know, I had like it was just like the minion right after, you know. Like, get bidding it up. You knew it was gonna bid up.
It's a funny story about this friend. He doesn't know Yiddish. He's already. When he went to the shul, he had a yotzei. He said, I'm going to go, I want an aliyah. I don't want to spend a lot of money on this. I go to the shtiblach, 2 shekels, 5 shekels, 10 shekels. So he goes to the shtiblach and he says, 5 shekels. So someone says, 6, 7, 8, 9. So he says, 10. Another guy says, in Yiddish, he says, 11. How do you say 11 in Yiddish? Elif. Sounds like elif. So he says, elif? It's crazy, 1,000? What's wrong with him? Sad, forget it. And then someone explained to him later, no, elef means 11, not 1,000. So, when you give tzedakah, you don't say, I'm going to give tzedakah. When you do neder, I'm going to give tzedakah. Don't say, I'm giving it to Hekdesh. Say, I'm giving it to tzedakah. Say that. And then you can give it to whoever he wants.
should make a vow and give it to Tzedakah right away for fixing the demon coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Says that it. If someone had a thought, I'm going to give a certain amount of money. He didn't express it out of his mouth. He's not chayav to give, but it's good that he'll give the amount that he thought of. Okay. Ha'omer, rei alai, tchum zeh tzedakah. If someone says, I'm taking upon myself this and this amount for tzedakah, im ani metzuim, if there's poor people around, found that he could give them, he has to give them immediately. And if he doesn't give it to them immediately, we'll avail the bat te'achem, unless he has in mind a certain place. But if he doesn't have this family, I'm giving now 500 shekels of stuff. And there's poor people around, he has to give it right away. If not, he's over on a lot of bat te'achem, not to be late to pay a vow. If there's no poor people, he sets the money aside. And when he sees poor people, give it to them. A person could also say, I'm no deal, 500 shekels of tzedakah. But I'm going to give it out slowly, slowly. And then every time he gives a shekel, 5 shekels a day, whatever he gives, he can have that in mind based on the money that he keeps a whole set aside that he's going to take. Okay. I'm going to give you
So let you know.
Can you talk to her?
Yeah.
If someone made a neder to give tzedakah, but he doesn't remember what was the amount of money that he said he's going to give. So you should give each time a little more, a little more, until for sure. That's, I didn't say more than this for sure, not. And then he's yetzer. If someone bought an aliyah in the shul, and he's not sure if he paid, and the gabbai also is not sure if he paid, okay, he has to give again. He has to give.
What if you got an aliyah in the shul, never been there before, and they tell you matana? You didn't say, I'm
going to
give anything. Say, and they give you Mishbeth, and they say, Matan, based on
this message. Say, Bli Nether.
I never said anything.
Usually they say, Bli
Nether. No.
Yeah.
So, but can someone make a Nether on your behalf? No. In that case? So you don't have to give them anything.
No problem.
You're supposed to say, I'm going to give you Matan.
You push you, they try to push you sometimes.
No, I never go there.
Aval, sometimes, Rosh Chodesh Iyah, and Shabbat Vachim Iyah, or someone has a child. He says, Babu, Shaitan. So I heard that some people said, Mashiach.
But he does understand anything.
Yeah, he knows.
This is not the last kilo that I'm talking about.
Obviously not. Here they auction off everything. Unless you know, if you have a baby or something, they don't auction it.
Let's say you bought an aliyah and you don't know how much it was.
So we said before, you have to give the amount that you definitely didn't say more than that. What do you say? 1,000 shekels you said? No. 500 shekels you said? No. 20 shekels maybe? 30 shekels? 50 shekels? Maybe the highest? So give 50 shekels. Unless it's in the shtibach, which you did not give 50 shekels. 20 shekels probably will be the most. 10
shekels.
Whatever, yeah.
Minimum.
10
shekels.
You gave already 50. So you probably said 3.
Yeah, there's. It's here, Chaval Yosef left. It's a halacha that sometimes a person he makes a vow for tzedakah and it's not considered. Aleph, amakdish b'taut or machmat ones. Someone who accidentally said that I'm going to give a certain amount. So he doesn't always come in. I don't know how it works accidentally, but if someone forces you, also give. Okay, fine, I'll give. But you don't really want. It's not considered an adel. if someone before he gets this neder, he says every neder I'm going to do ever in my life is nullified from the beginning, like we say in the Atalos Nedarim. So then all his nedarim are from before even he said them. They never started b'chol. So all of our nedarim are for sure in the shul I daven sometimes on Friday. They have every Friday they do a atat nedarim.
It's
from Bet El. We did that every Friday. It's from Bet El. If a person he's under 13, also his vows are not considered. If someone is on his deathbed, also his vows are not considered. Okay. Let's say he said, if I'll be healthy, I'll give all my money to tzedakah. Everything I have. And then he becomes healthy, he doesn't have to give.
He should do something.
Okay, he brings the Shem of Chaim Kanevsky. Yeah. If one did a vow to give a certain amount of money to tzedakah, and he wants to be nishal al nidro to go to chacham, the chacham will nullify it. He could, the ma'aseh, do it, but it's not a good thing to do. Okay. One said he's going to give a certain amount of tzedakah. Two people, they were in a big trouble. They said we'll give a certain amount of tzedakah. They had the money also, and afterwards they lost all their money, and now they have nothing to give. So what should they do? There's an eitzah to do. They get out of it. To go and borrow money from someone, the amount that they promised they're going to give. And then you borrow the money, and then you give it to tzedakah to your friend. And he gives it back to you, the tzedakah, and then you pay back the loan. Get the idea? You took a loan. You have to give 1,000 shekels to tzedakah. And also your friend said he's going to... You together, you said you're going to give 1,000 shekels. Each one will give 500 shekels. So what are you? And you're on the money. What are you going to do now? You lost all your money. You have nothing to do. So you go. One of the guys goes and takes a loan of 1,000 shekels, and gives that tzedakah to his friend. So he gave tzedakah. Then another guy gives. He says, "Now I'm giving you tzedakah." He gives it, and then he pays back the loan.
That's when you didn't say where you're going to give it to. Just say I'm going to
give tzedakah. Yeah, to the anim. Yeah, it's a trick. The gabbai who collects money for tzedakah for the aniyim, as we said already, his merits are greater than the person who actually gave tzedakah. He always goes around collecting money for others. It's a big, big zchut. Okay, a gabbai tzedakah who gives out money, collects the money and gives out the money, he should be someone ne'eman, someone that everyone trusts, that he knows what he's doing, yirei shamayim, of course. And it's good to do that. It's his only job. Okay? His only job, that's what he does. He, the guy, collects money all day and he gives it to the aniyim. It's good to that. He does now, he's just dealing with the aniyim. Now, Gabat Zaka, Ra'ui Sheikach Sachar Tricha Vu'u Isuko V'Sukha Rishah. Someone is collecting money, okay, for the aniyim, yeah, for whatever reason, Chasat Kala, whatever thing that he's collecting. It's Ra'ui, it's a fitting that he will take a salary off of that. That's what's supposed to be. Okay? He brings down here, and the Maaseh, he should take 25%. Until 25%. Yeah. If some say that you let it take up to 50%, 49%. But he says, he brings down here from Chaim Pichas Scheinberg, says Shlita, Zatzal. Okay? That it's true, but it's probably against of the das of most of the people who gave tzedakah. They don't want to give, and knowing that you're taking half the amount. Mm-hmm. If you're taking a certain amount, your salary, fine. But if you're taking 50%, I don't want to give you tzedakah. So therefore, it's not so good to do that. And they'll take 25%, up to 25%. And giving the ani is considered giving the gaba is considered giving to the ani. Okay. According to Ashkenazi, if a gaba tzedaka has a lot of money in the house and he's now alone, he's allowed to take from that tzedaka money for a loan and to give it back. The Sfaradim it's more chamur to do that. Okay. If they collect a lot of money for a hasat kala, for example, or for a sick person, and then the person died, and what are you going to do with the money? It was for his medical care, and that's what you collect it for. You collect it for medical care for this person. Okay, now what do you do with the rest of the money? If he has kabbalot, who he got the money from, he has to make an effort, give it back to the people who gave, because they gave it to that cause. And if he doesn't know, he was just collecting, so give it to a similar cause. Give it to someone else who needs to vote for.
Can you give it for his burial?
His burial?
Mm-hmm.
Look, it says here that the chatchila is to give it to a similar cause. Stumble that if there's no similar cause, they can give it a burial too.
Part of his fear is his last medicine.
If, you know, a lot of times, many places they give you a kupat zaka, a pushka, you put it in your house, and then never show up again. So for years you have this pushka, you fill it. You call the number, they change the number. You try to find who they are, you don't know who they are. You don't know what do you do now? You gave money for a certain thing. So if you give it to someone else, you can't find it. People do it to someone else. You know, once I was in Geneva. So in Geneva, all the food is very expensive. So no one buys all the kosher food. So no one buys kosher food in Geneva. They walk over to the next town, which is in France. And there the food is a lot cheaper, the kosher food. There's a big makoles. By car is a 5-minute drive, by foot is 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You walk, you're in the... It's the key to one town, and there's a board in the middle. Part of it is Geneva, part of it is something, I don't know what it's called, the other town. Anyway, so I go to the store there. We're doing a fatzah. It's awesome. It's freezing out. We said, awesome. He loves it. He likes Breslev, the guy, the cashier. He let us put all the books right under where he's doing the cashing people out. So we sold a lot of books, very nice. And then I see a pushka over there of a Mosdot Shomer HaChomot that I also had in my house. I said, it was full. I said, what are you doing with all this? I said, I don't know, someone brought it here, some shno I was collecting for them. He said he put it here, and I don't know how to get to him. I'm here in France, I don't know how to get there. He says, I know who they are. I also have for them, I know exactly who they are. I have their number, I have everything. So take all the money and leave the pushka here. I said, okay, fine. That's what I did. And I called him from when I got back home. I said, I have a lot of money. He said, how much? I said, I don't know, a few hundred euro. He said, really? He was there the same day, of course. And we took all the money. And he, every time he comes to me, as if I'm a rich person. He thinks I said, I give you a few shekels if you want. But anyways... it's good they found that. I found a way to get to them. Because if you don't get to give it to them, you're allowed to give it a different mustad. From the same cause.
You're saying if you have a bunch of pushkas in your house, and it's from years and years, you can combine them all into one?
If no one comes to collect them, you don't know who they are, what they want. So yeah, you put the gift to the different cause. Do you have a lot of those at home? Try to call their numbers. Call the numbers. You want the money? Come and take it. If not, don't give me someone else. You're allowed to. If you had money laying around the house of Tzedakah, and then you heard that the place closed down. Let's say it was a school or a shul, who knows what. You have to give the money to the person who was running the place last, and you could do with it whatever you want. Not your problem anymore. But if you put down the money after the place closed, you can take it back to yourself. So you give it to wherever you want, somewhere else.
What if you found that the place was a faker?
Then you give it to somewhere else, Tucker.
Find someone proper and give it to them.
You're allowed. You're allowed to break money, or what do you call it?
Change
money, like into coins, small coins, whatever, from Pushka, as long as they don't lose from it. Yeah, you're allowed to. I heard once that it doesn't bring it down here, but it's good to leave a little bit in there. You just stop using money if it's tzedakah. You're giving also this, but lo chayav.
You have to be careful when you do that, when you collect money for a person. Is that permanent?
No.
You
gave him a
video. So I was collecting for the guy. You know? But I didn't know that he does this several times a year, and he went into it.
You want to get to good causes.
You know, and so I have no problem. It's not an individual. The first time I'd ever done it for an individual, but it can be very tricky.
There's a story I read. This guy, he said that he went into a shul and he sees this guy, a beggar came in, and he had a whole long story. His wife's a widow, his kids are orphans, all kinds of stories.
His wife is a widow,
okay. That's a joke. Yeah. He said, yeah, a whole long story, what was wrong? And he collected money, people gave him nicely. And also he gave him a nice check. A few years later, he sees the same guy somewhere else, it's a different story. A different place in the country, here in Israel. Now he's the person that talked about how sick he is, how this, and crying. And he didn't know whatever to give, not to give. A while afterwards, this person who was giving, for some reason he had to be in the hospital, and the person in the bed next to him was that person who was collecting. So he told him, "You know, I was there, and I heard." He told him, "You should know, I was doing this as a living, and all the stories that I was saying, they came true on me." He was saying all kinds of negative things about himself. That he's sick, and that he's this, and that his children, and blah, 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 and debts, and it wasn't true. And everything that he said came true on him. Now he's in the hospital.
Oops.
It's not pashut. It's not a joke.
On the other side, I heard a story. It was in New York. Somebody was sitting with a friend of his, who was a Hasid Satmar, a very wealthy, wealthy businessman. He's sitting there, and the secretary brings in a person who's collecting money. He says he has a yeshiva, he's building the building, and he comes with an album of pictures, construction site, and the building is partly up, and you know the gray blocks, it's not finished yet, and there's a sign on there that says, you know, yeshiva kacha kacha over there, and the satmar chasid opens the door, pulls a $100 bill, gives it to him, thank you very much, and goes. Sounds fine, right? After the guy's gone, a few minutes later he goes, says, "You saw that? Yeah. That's my building. That's not that yeshiva. Okay? It's a building that I'm building," and so forth. And he probably did something else to get that, Photoshop or something, get a different sign on the building. Then why did you give him? Because our love, the Yitav Lev, trained us, if a Jew makes that much of an effort to lie, because he really needs money, but he needs a good, to come up with a good reason to make sure he gets it.
Interesting. Let's say though.
Or he's embarrassed about the real reason. Like, when you're in the Jewish community, as an official, you hear all kinds of stories.
Yes. So we're going to finish here with Tzedakah for today. And on Yom Chamishi, Bezal Hashem, we're going to learn very, very interesting halachot, which are called the Skem Yisachar V'Zvulun, a partnership, which is called Yisachar and Zvulun. That a person, we'll see all the details. You could take someone who sits and learns, and you be supporting him, and he's going to be supporting you by his Torah. And we'll learn the details, and people make a contract. People do
I
that.
I can tell you something about one like that. When I was in Beit El, your life, we call it a big one. I was in Beit El, and one of the Avochim, recently married, and very, very tight money situation. He had to pay schar dira. He didn't have it.
Rent.
Rent. He had to pay rent. He didn't have the money. He couldn't get thrown out on the street with he's been married for a year and there's a new baby. And so, what are you going to do? So the Rav said, talk to the owner. I know him. See if he can come up with a suggestion. Ask him to see what he suggests.
The owner of the house?
Yeah.
His landlord?
Yeah, landlord. So the landlord said, okay, I'll deal with you as Yischa's Zvulun. You paid me nothing for the next 15 years. It's you're in the dira for 15 years, you don't pay a rent, but your limud is in my suit. You learn from me, I cover your rent. 15 years and one day after that 15 years finished, the landowner passed away.
He was keeping him alive.
And the guy came to the Rav and said, I feel so bad. Why should have made Richard Bullman another 5 years? He'll live another 5 years longer. He said, no. His soul knew how long he was supposed to live. And you kept alive those years. Everything's fine. Don't feel bad.
Is that an only in Israel story?
No, it's a Jewish world story. Yeah. So, now we're going to learn B'ti Shalom.